see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Campbell. I'm the host of this program, and you're welcome. This afternoon for 2 hours from 4 to 6 p.m. this afternoon, brought to you by Watchmen for Jesus Network. We're all here. My website is watchmenforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus Facebook. Also, let you all know that we have one other network that plays us randomly on their program, highpointradio.net. It's highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays us randomly on his network. He's up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Also, he has sponsors that promote his program, help him with his program. And you can check with the sponsors on highpointradio.net. And if you're up there in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, in those areas, that you can use his sponsorship, and that gives him a hand to play our broadcast because he's going to increase his output, and he'll be looking for help there. Family, today I'm going to hit all areas and see where we land up. It's kind of like, I don't know, kind of pin the tail on the donkey. Yes, I want to talk about, starting off, about elections. I'm not going to beat it to death, but give you some insight about elections, but maybe not what you're expecting. I don't talk about the political mumbo-jumbo, mundane, about Republicans, Democrats voting to bring in somebody, some president that already got appointed. They already know who's going to be president right now anyway. See, it's already starting. So I'm going to explain to you, really, what goes on in these silly elections that they have. Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Libertarians, it don't matter what tyranny it is. It's all a bunch of baloney. They lie at these elections. They know who's going to be chosen. Most of them at the highest level are actual cousins. Romney, Cheney, Bush, Gore, Clinton. All their family, they're cousins. You understand this? They're in the same family that will attend the same family reunion if they were to have one. That'd be a family reunion from hell. But nevertheless, all of them, Democrat, Republican, that's the biggest bunch of nonsense ever was. There's no such thing as Democrat, Republican, because they work together. Now, on this level down here, people actually believe that the people they put in position at the Republican side or Democrat side are going to do what they say they're going to do. It is not going to happen. It never has, and it never will. You see, that's the reality. Now, if you all don't like hearing that, I can't help that, but I'm not going to soften it up, not one little bit. Because it's a fact, you see. I don't soften up facts, I just give them to you. Then you do what you want to with them. That's how I do it. Some people like it, some people don't. I'm not concerned about that. I do my research extensively. And today I'm going to give you some evidence about what I'm talking about in elections. I also want to talk today about the supernatural. And everything, I mean everything, that I'm going to talk about today is all connected in the same conspiracy. That's also absolutely true. You see, bet you haven't heard that in a while. Because that's exactly what's going on today. It's one agenda. Well, actually three. New World Order, politically, religiously, and economically, leads to one actual conspiracy to have one world government with one world leader. And boy, they're close. They're really close. It is going by the book. And there's no way around it. Denial won't change the facts. It won't change the agenda that's being perpetrated right before you. I expose that conspiracy for what it really is. And I tell you the remedies also. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then, family, let's get moving. We've got a lot to talk about this week. This is Wednesday, the middle of the week. And this will go until tomorrow and Friday, which it should. I've got a broadcast anyway, so it should do it, huh? And I got Bible study, 8 to 9. And tonight, on the Bible study, what I decided to do, and I mention it now because this morning, I was on Jesus in the Morning broadcast, Sister Mac on Blog Talk Radio. Very good program. And they invited me as a guest once again, and I certainly appreciate that they trust me to talk on their radio, and, you know, it's an honor to do that. And Sister Mac has a very good program, Jesus in the Morning, 7 o'clock to 9. Anyway, so she invited me to come on, and I did this morning, and we talked about the subject matter was generational curses. Family, this is exactly what's going on in your homes today, right now. This is exactly what's going on as controlling the country right now is the supernatural and curses. Curses are what? Are demonic entities that's affecting your life. To me, that's important to get across to people because it affects you 24/7 and including of your sleep. Yes, including in your sleep. It's concerned with elections, ADHD, which doesn't exist in the first place. It consists with wars, history, the politics, which would be next to wars, the science, the arts. All this is connected together. And this can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Again, denial won't change the facts. You see, I'm very emphatic about that. I take this program I have very serious. And it's not easy listening. I know. It's not easy listening. And it does get intense. It just does. This is my life the way I do it anyway. And family, I think the truth needs to be told now more than ever. Now I'm going to add something to it. Don't believe a word I say. But you expect that, did you? Challenge everything I say. Don't believe it, but challenge it. Challenge everything I say. Do not just say, oh, he said it is true. No. No. You find something out. If I say something, you say, oh, that's crazy. I don't believe that. Well, challenge it, dadgummit. Challenge it. Go after it. Prove it wrong. You see, defining the truth is more important than some silly political party or some election or whatever else they got going on. The truth is more important than anything. Because the truth will set you free and not put you in bondage. Break those chains by finding the truth out. And God will help you find that truth, but you must become born again. And that's between you and God. That's it. Between you and God through Jesus Christ. And there is no other way. You will find no other way. You'll search, you will not find. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Let's get moving. Lord, we thank you today, Father, for having us, for us being able to have a broadcast. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can preach the gospel on this site, for, Lord. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us along with discernment and wisdom. Father, we ask you to use that Holy Spirit to bring us all together and to put us in our minds and in our hearts, Father, the truth about what's going on in this world today. Father, to give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, be able to hear the truth, be able to see the truth, and Father, through the Holy Spirit, to give us that wisdom, discernment, to discern the truth. Lord, to help us divide the Word of God into the truth of what's being told, and Father, to expose the churches that are falsely preaching the wrong, that's preaching the wrong gospels, and expose those preachers for, Father, for what they are and who they are. Father, to bring up, though, those that's telling the truth. Father, to exalt them, to bring them to the forefront, and to exalt the true Word of God in the King James Bible, Lord. We see things happening, Father, that the supernatural realm is starting to show up even more so today than ever. And, Father, we need that Holy Spirit protection and the blood of Jesus around us as we preach that gospel and carry out the Great Commission. Father, I pray for our veterans. Father, it's being targeted specifically, Lord, for these suicides daily that's happening throughout the United States. And those in the world, Father, that and the those that's non-veterans, Lord, that the spirit of suicide is still perpetrating itself throughout the cultures, that, Lord, we see it increasing. And, Lord, we know during the occultic holidays that's coming up and the holidays, Father, that open up the portals inside people, that, Lord, that those spirits of suicide increase. Father, we call upon you to expose these methods that's being used by Satan to mislead the flock. Lord, we pray that, Lord, that Holy Spirit will convict those on the pulpit today. Convict them of deception that they're putting out. And, Father, to give courage to those that's preaching the truth and give them the opportunities for that their voices and words can be heard. Father, we call upon you to put a heavy burden upon the world leaders. Father, to put a burden on them that they'll come out and become whistleblowers, that they'll start telling the truth. And Lord, to expose the Illuminati for what it really is. And Father, to expose the witchcraft that's being conducted in the countries today and expose it as the leader. But Father, to minimize the effects of this supernatural demonic influence that's going on today. Father, to put it to where it really is and extinguish what it's going on. And Father, to raise up those watchmen, to raise up those that's going to preach the truth. Lord, to give up the divine appointments that's going to lead people in the right direction. And your Father, to bring those that are the wheat out in the front. And Father, to convert those that are to be tares, Lord, to convert those over, Lord, by spreading the gospel and touching the hearts. We call upon you, Father, protect children. Father, to open the eyes of the parents and open the eyes of the law enforcement, Father, that may be Freemasons, that, Father, that they can renounce their blood oath. And, Father, to get away from these blood oaths and get away from these memberships and get back to really doing the job. And, Father, protect children that are being abducted for these witchcraft sacrifices at the highest level of government and the highest level of societies, right down to the lowest level, Lord, that you'll expose these Wiccan in every location they are and strip down their protection, Lord, that they will not be able to operate. And Lord, to break up their covens and break up their prayer chains and break up their psychic influence. And Lord, to send those warring angels down, Father, to extinguish every coven that's coming out, Lord. And Father, in those that's left, Father, in those that's left, in those covens, Father, you bind the Holy Spirit to the hearts and use that as a guide to your Son, Jesus Christ. That, Lord, that even covens could be converted, Father, if you convert, Lord, if you convict several in the covens, Lord, that they can also be as witnesses to convert even covens into born again. Lord, in all these things we pray that, Father, you raise us up. You raise up your watchmen to sound the alarm and to bring your army out to start spreading the word of God throughout this land. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, I put up there on TalkStream Live. If y'all would, if you get an opportunity, put in your browser on the URL bar. Browser, URL, all these new words we got these days and time. Didn't have that in 1970. Anyway, the TalkStreamLive.com. And you can pull up another window if you want or whatever y'all do with your computer. That's what I got, windows all over the place. You know, the little box things or whatever. Anyway, so you put up TalkStream Live, and you go in, and you look for my mug, that's a picture. You click on it, and it'll take you to my page. You see, I've learned some of these terms. It's like a new language, you know. And then you click on to the right of it, that little bar, and it takes you to some kind of a recording window thing, and you click it off. Unless you want to listen to it there, it's fine. You click on my picture, it takes you clear to my website, watchmenforjesus.com. So you listen two ways, either from TalkStream Live. Now, understand that TalkStream Live shuts off the program like 3 minutes till. Sometimes I keep on talking. Sometimes I can't close Mr. Mouth down. He just keeps going. So, you know, but they close off like 3 minutes till or something like that. I'll still be talking probably on my website. Either way, it's going to be recorded, and it's put on my website in the archives. So it's there, and then I upload it on a daily basis. Yep, there you go. Elections. Family, you're not going to like this. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I'm a quote-unquote patriot, whatever. All right, I joined for that reason, to fight in the Marine Corps and to go do my thing for my country way back in the 70s and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, you got the idea. I love my country, and I love the family, and I love all that sort of stuff, and red, white, and blue, and this, that, and the other. But family, Jesus Christ is my number one. That's it. I'm done. You know, that's it. That's my loyalty, is to Jesus Christ. That's all. That's it. Everything else comes second or third or whatever. As a matter of fact, which I've renounced every oath I've ever taken, I renounce those oaths, because my word to God is my bond to God. And if it's to God, it's to everybody else. You see, so it says in Matthew 5:33-37, you're not to take any doggone oath. No oath is required. Your word is your law. You see, marriage certificates and birth, all that stuff is for control of the government of you. Back in the day, I don't know what day it was, a long time ago, you didn't have to have a marriage certificate. I think before the 1930s or whatever, anyway. You didn't have to have a marriage certificate or any of that stuff. The marriage certificate marries you to the government. You see, back in the day, the covered wagons and all that, before they had the marriage certificate, your word was your bond, and your marriage was to God in the ceremony, and you wrote it down in your family Bible. Done. That's it. It was a marriage. You see? Of course, now it's a little more complicated. However, getting a divorce is really easy. It's really easy. They made it that way to destroy the families. I may gravitate toward that later on in the program. If not, I'll do it tomorrow. about how the destruction of the family. I don't think you ever finish that subject. The subject is destroying the family destroys the country. That's a chess move of the Illuminati. It's a fact. Feminism, same-sex marriage, both parents working. These things are planned and orchestrated on a cultural level at the Bilderberg Group, Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission. They discuss how to destroy the family in order to destroy the country to lead you to a new world order. That's an absolute fact. You see, there's not one high-level government official on your side. Not one. They're members of Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, Freemasons at the highest level. Who's against other Freemasons, by the way, at the lowest level. That's a fact, too. Because they lie to them. That's documented by Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma. I can give you the page number if you want it. Actually, I bet you could find it. Family, everything I'm telling you is true. Satan is in control of this world. He's God of this world, but he's not king. And there's only a certain level of latitude he's given, and then God pulls him back. Whoa, boy, can't go past that point. And you will go by what the Bible says. You can't go outside the Bible. You see, Satan has parameters of which he cannot go past. And guess who controls all the governments and kings and queens and your presidents and your high-level generals that are in the secret societies? Satan does. And he uses, supernaturally, he uses fallen angels that is today called, for them, ascended masters or masters of wisdom, which is a contradiction of term, even the supernatural level. Because they got to be some kind of dumb angels, dumb fallen angels, to think they're going to defeat the creator of this universe. They're supposed to be real smart. That's pretty dumb. Because they lose. So what's the whole agenda? So you'll have your soul damned to hell is why they want to do it. I say no. I say you find Jesus Christ and you defeat them. Spiritual warfare is the way to go. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the answer, Joint Chief of Staff. But first, you got to clean your house up. That means you got to renounce a blood oath. Now, I know you may lose your star. You may get fired, or you might be given an opportunity to retire, something, but they will not have you around, will they? You're not good enough on yourself, are you? You have to be a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, don't you? Yeah, or you're not good enough. How about that? You might be a war hero. Then what happened to you that you sold your life to Satan because you brief, you talk to, you coordinate with, you drink coffee with members of the Council of Foreign Relations that's responsible for the death of every single military person since World War II and the Korean War. And yet you're Joint Chief of Staff and you're briefing the very organization that's responsible for filling up Arlington with the bodies of our dead soldiers and Marines, sailors, Air Force, and Navy. That makes you traitors and cowards. You heard me. So when are you going to renounce that blood oath? And when are you going to stop briefing and working with the Council of Foreign Relations? Because that is the Illuminati, created by Rockefellers in 1921 to set up the wars, to kill our soldiers and veterans. And they still are, through suicides it's orchestrated. I'm on fire today. Now, I'm getting tired of this. Somebody's got to tell the truth and come out of the closet, or whatever you want to call it, and put these people on report. You see, that's how it works. I don't know how far the voice carries. I don't know who's going to hear what. And I really don't care. You see, I'm hoping that when I talk, they'll hear it. Doubtful, but it's shot in the dark. Family, something's got to be done. Because the whole idea is that souls end up in heaven. That's the bottom line. Heaven is real. Well, so is hell. And you're in the middle ground. The natural world. Oh, I know. Elections. So, let's go back to secular subject matter. Talk about these elections. Everybody gets all caught up in elections. Elections are there to keep you busy. Boy, it works, too. It works. You know, it works. pits one family against another. You actually think that the Democrat Party is going to do what they say they're going to do. You actually believe the Republican Party is going to do what they're going to do. But in reality, Democrats and Republicans work together at the highest level for the New World Order to fool you. Now, you do have congressmen that go in wanting to do a good job and wanting to fix things, and they're part of you. Well, the Riot Act is read to them. They're told, well, here's how it really is up here if you want to live. How's your daughter doing at college today? Or isn't she taking it? Her dorm? This is how they really do things. It's how it really works. It's reality. Freemasons, they may want to make them Freemasons. You know, you want to be a part of Freemasons? Well, you got to take a blood oath. That's how they do it. They keep control of them that way. Sometimes they won't be elected unless they are. You notice they have like 8, 9, 10, whatever it is, presidential candidates at the very beginning. Remember Edwards and all the rest of them all lined up there like they were preachers or something? And then they ask them a question, and they'd answer it just like a beauty pageant contestant or whatever. So notice all of a sudden it gets whittled down. Y'all ever notice that? Edwards was the first one to go. He had an affair somewhere. They had this all planned out, family. You want a reality show? Duck Dynasty? They ain't Christian by no stretch of the imagination. Duck Dynasty guy's going to write his own Bible next year. Cancels him out as a Christian. Done. You don't write your own Bible. You got the King James. You don't need another Bible, Duck. So Duck's turned to goose. And they also support Saddleback. Rick Warren. Chrislam. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He is Illuminati and self-admitted member of a Luciferian worshiping organization called the Council of Foreign Relations. Now, doubt me, please. Now go check it out and watch what you get. Back to congressmen. Congressmen go up there. Let's say he has a good idea, a good heart, and wants to do the right thing. Well, it goes something like this. Back in 1955... William G. Carr come out with a book that tells you the truth. It's called The Red Fog Over America. I actually have the red edition. It's all kinds of beat up here, but it's one of the original. It's the original. And in that book, William G. Carr was a Canadian Coast Guard officer that was born again, was Catholic, but he was Christian. He believed in Jesus Christ, and he wrote an amazing book. It's not well known, but it's like Bill Cooper. Got the truth in it. Nesta Webster. There's many of them that have got the truth in them that people don't hear about. He also had William T. Still. You got William G. Carr, Pawns in the Game. Oh, you can find good authors that you can trust. Well, in this book, Red Fog Over America, back to the congressman issue, you have a definition, glossary terms and phrases, and the one term is called the Black Book. No, it's not about a dating service. The Black Book is defined as thus. Now, this is 1950s, so they had one before, and they have one after, and I would venture to say this Black Book today would be on a computer, by the way. Yeah, anyway. NSA would have part of it. I imagine CIA would too. And here's what the Black Book concept is. Quote, a book in which the directors of the international conspiracy kept a record of the private lives of influential people together with a detailed report of their characteristics, their faults, and failings. The information is used to, quote, persuade people into doing the bidding of the conspirators, either because of fear of exposure or for the sake of obtaining more luxury and material rewards, unquote. That's how it really works. And if they can't find something on this congressman and he's trying to find out about certain issues they want to keep silent, you see, then they will set him up. They'll conduct a task force secretly. And they will study this congressman, this hospital president, this whoever, a CEO with some defense contractor that's a born-again Christian or somebody that is, you know, working on his own, or a family group in a small town like the Allens in Hillsborough, Virginia, no matter what decade it is, that's influential and they want to get rid of them like the Rockefellers did, the Allens, in the early 1900s. They'll murder, family. These people are unbelievable. The Rockefellers hired a detective agency to destroy the Allen family in the 1920s. They massacred people at the Colorado fuel and coal industry in Colorado, Matawan, West Virginia. They massacred people. The Rockefellers did. This is how it really works, to take control of that area or that industry. Influential families are brought in or they're destroyed. Now that's reality. Okay? So, you know, that's, and give you an idea how they operate. Now, my regular listeners, you've heard this before, but I think I'm going to play this one so you get an idea how they shut you down when you're bringing up the truth. Now, Oliver North is a Knights of Malta. Rick Warren is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, is a Knights of Malta. Jerry Boykin is a Knights of Malta. Wesley Clark, General Wesley Clark, Powderpuff Clark, potential vice president with Hillary Clinton. Yeah, in 2016. Wouldn't that be interesting? Wesley Clark, the man who tried to start World War III in June of 1999 in Kosovo. He's a Rhodes Scholar. Yeah, he took a blood oath for Satan. You want to read the blood oath? Go find it. It's there in the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and Rhodes Scholar's Oath. You can read the oath he took against you. That's how it really works. Well, how they do it, now y'all, that my regular listeners, you've heard this before, but I think I'm going to play this, and you'll see how they're shut down when they try to fix. This is a good example of how it works.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir.
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan, in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman.
Now, that's just one sample, but that's exactly how it's really done. That's how they do it. You see, that's how it's really done. Now, if you get one that's trying to make a difference, they'll do a study on him, whoever it is, or her, whatever, and they'll make a determination about what they're going to do with him to shut him down. Nancy Schaefer, they murdered her. Nancy Schaefer, Congress lady from Georgia, was going to go after the corrupt and satanic Child Protective Service. you heard me correctly, that works for the CIA to funnel children to them. Let's get down to it. And they provide it for the certain congressmen and CEOs and military leaders that are in the satanic organization. That's correct. Now, she was also going after the North American continent to try to slow it down and stop it. The North American Union is one of the 10 kings in the end times of prophecies. It's one of the 10 kings of North American Union. You see? Bill Cooper, they took him out. Russo, they took him out. Barry Jennings, they took him out. Larry McDonald, they took him out. Shall I continue? This is how it really works. Which leads me to the next definition. Oh, by the way, Edwards, he had an affair, didn't he? And they took him out. Now, sometimes they already know they've got these things that's going to come up. And they put people there. They know, well, we're going to let you talk for a while, and then we're going to take you out. Okay, no problem. That's how they work it. Another way they do it, and this is a little bit, well, quite a bit worse. It's called nihilists. Nihilists are trained from birth. And they're the following. Quote, the executioners used by all conspirators who aspire to control of a world dictatorship. History reveals that these assassins are to be found in all classes of society. They try, if possible, to make the murders they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural death. You've got several presidents who were assassinated by poison that you're not told about. Lindbergh's baby, the grandfather of Lindbergh, was after them in the Congress, and he was identifying the truth about the Federal Reserve and the financial system, that recessions, depressions, and inflationary periods are created by design, decades ahead. He's explaining this and going after it in Congress. They took him out. They took out his grandson and killed the baby under the guise of a ransom. I go on and on about this. This is how it really works. This is reality. Now, just this morning, in the newspaper in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, just little old Winston-Salem. I can imagine how it is in Florida or Georgia or California, where you got, you know, where you got an actor as your governor, you got a professional wrestler as a governor of Wisconsin, Ventura. You got to be kidding me. These are Freemasons, family. You can't trust a word they say. Not one word. Reagan was a Knights of Malta and an actor. You don't make an actor a president. They signed their name over to Lucifer. That's a fact. He lied and admitted he lied. Bush, I mean every single one of them. McKinley was exposing the financial dealings of 1901. They took him out. You know, it's ironic that Lincoln also, even though he started off bad, something changed him. He was not a Freemason. And guess what? Neither was JFK. How about that? Both are family members of the same Merovingian bloodline. But they started doing the right thing. Yeah, McKinley too. So they all three have something in common. So did Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, I got a bone to pick with him because his treatment of the Indians. But he did defeat the Illuminati by balancing the budget. He knew what to do. They tried to kill him three times. Point blank range, two muskets misfired. He beat the guy with his walking stick. So, from the history that we really dig deep in, it is amazing. Let's go back to Winston-Salem Journal, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, date November 12th. Oh, that's today. Well, you know. The front page, officials change election results. This is just Winston-Salem. Uncounted curbside ballots were found by the staff. Forsyth County election officials adjusted election night results Tuesday after discovering that some curbside early voting ballots had not been counted and that some votes were counted twice in two precincts. Election results will not be finalized until canvass on Friday. Election board has had more than 400 provisional ballots to consider, so numbers could change further. Yeah. You see, Martin Luther King, a great man, a great leader, separated himself from the civil rights marchers, civil rights leaders, and decided to bring people together. He started off in the communist agenda, Democrat agenda. He pulled himself out of it and said, no, I'm going to do the right thing. And he did. And that's what got him killed by the Pentagon, the CIA, and the Jesuits, and all these others. Okay. Now, same thing happened to JFK. Same thing happened to Malcolm X. I don't promote his agenda or his, well, actually his, religion. But he was a great man, too, because he was against the Illuminati. He was against the Freemasonry, as was Martin Luther King. And I've played a quote by Martin Luther King that confirms from his own mouth he separated from those like Jesse Jackson that are Freemasons and all the rest of them. And he was bringing people together. And that was not supposed to happen in the 1960s. So did Bobby Kennedy. So did JFK. And all four of them, Malcolm X, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, were killed by the same group of people at the highest level for the same reasons. Martin Luther King Jr. said, and I quote, "We must face the appalling fact that we have been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties." Unquote. Now, I've talked about this before. Democrat Party and Republican parties working together at the Council of Foreign Relations have different assignments. The Democrat Party is designed and created at the highest level, bring to you your Marxist socialist agenda that Khrushchev was talking about. That's the purpose of the Democrat Party. Republican Party, don't be puffing your chest out. You are responsible for the death of all of our military personnel because you plan the wars that kill them. Because the CFR, as said by the Chicago Tribune, in 1950, December the 9th, 1950, you don't believe me, look it up. Matter of fact, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to look it up anyway. You should. Prove me wrong, please. You'll find December the 9th, 1950, Chicago Tribune actually printed the truth. They fixed that, though, in the 1960s. They put some hapless editor in charge of the Chicago Tribune at some time in 1960 to fix the leak. But in 1950, December the 9th, they put in their paper an editorial, which I have a copy of it, by the way, the exact editorial. Parts of it said, and I quote, "The members of the council," that's foreign relations, "should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war," that'd be World War II, "and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War." Family, that war was pre-planned. The end of it was already pre-orchestrated, as was Vietnam. That's a fact. So that's the purpose of the Republican. And also they have that communistic group called the Council of National Policy, a right-wing religious type that's got the Pat Robinsons, the Misslers, the LaHayes, Palin, all these, look it up, Council of National Policy, a secretive right-wing religious group of heretics and Freemasons and Eastern Stars that's controlled and underneath the Council of Foreign Relations. And they created the Tea Party movement to ferret out those that are quasi-patriots. Now, the ones that are members of it don't know this. They don't know this. You see, they're using the patriot side, the Tea Party, to find out who's going to be a problem. That's how they do it. Yeah. Ron Paul, he's a Rosicrucian. He's a Freemason, too. His wife is an Eastern Star. Family, there's nobody in the government you can trust. Not even one. You see? What did JFK say? Now, I got a, 15-minute recording. That's a real good one I play. But he says the essential, quote JFK, "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations," unquote. Now, when it says intelligence operations, let me tell you something. In CIA, NSA, DGSB, KGB, every ISI, Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, every single intelligence agency in the world at the highest level, they work together. They didn't work for their country. They work for the Illuminati. You're starting to get it now. But let me tell you before I go further, no matter what they do, it don't matter what they do, they lose the supernatural war. They forget there's a God in control. Because if they were in control, they'd have a new world order already. But they don't, do they? I've already found, six attempted military coups of the U.S. government, by the U.S. government, as led by the Jesuits, led by the Illuminati. I've found six of them since 1933. 1933-34, that low-life FDR, I've got evidence on him, is slam dunk it. We're supposed to be in the New World Order, 1943, with all the world leaders working together to bring us under a New World Order. It didn't happen now, did it? Actually, it goes back to, it goes back to Woodrow Wilson. What do you think the League of Nations was all about? As a setup for the New World Order. It didn't work, did it? No, it didn't. So they had to go to 1945, bring the Nazis over here, 10,000 of them to be exact, just continue what they were doing anyway. We won the battles, we lost the war. In the Revolutionary War, we won the battles later, but we lost the war. We became and continued to be a colony. That's a fact. Civil War don't count. We fought each other. It counts the largest number of Americans dead in any war. We fought each other. And who'd Lincoln blame? The Jesuits. The lying, murdering, low-life Jesuits. That's why they assassinated him. Y'all getting the idea now? Heck, I'm just getting warmed up. Because 1933, that FDR, what he did was absolutely horrendous, evil beyond words. Then you go forward to the time of period I just finished telling you all about, JFK, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, Malcolm X. They're all going to be used to start a civil war inside the United States. It didn't work. Had to settle on a secret control of the government. They couldn't get the New World Order then, and World War III started too soon. It failed. 1972-74, Nixon and General Cushman, a fellow Marine, can you believe it, a commandant, working with Nixon to set up a military coup of the U.S. government. 72-74, they were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew with a group from the LAPD. They were Freemasons, intelligence unit. Every major police department has an intelligence unit secretly that worked with the CIA to murder, build cases against good people, assassinations that are unknown. They didn't kill Agnew when it didn't work out, and actually Nixon balkanized America. Look up Executive Order 11647. February the 12th, 1972. He balkanized the United States into 10 regions, 5 states each, to turn it over to the United Nations when they maintained a military takeover. That was planned. Well, you got to give up some rights to get your rights. What? What are you talking about? Suspend the American Constitution was what they were planning on doing. Oh, because that's what they said when I played that little video a little while ago. Jack Brooks tried to bring it out. 1984, 1983. Our Contra affair. They're going to bring them over here, arm them, and come into America to start war. But little old Reagan got his fingers caught in the cookie jar. So did all the rest of them who were Knights of Malta. They failed. That's my point. But they continued. 1990, Bush. And Bush and Bush and Bush. And then Clinton, his role was to invade, along with Bush, the Kosovo. Now, I was there 5 years. I saw the lies. I saw Al-Qaeda operating freely in my region, and I was security manager in the eastern region. I saw it. I've got pictures of them. You're darn right I do, RHIS, and I became a whistleblower in 2005. Oh, I got pictures. I got my map still showing the terrorist organizations and their locations on the 1 to 50,000 map. You're darn right I do. Yeah. 7-year contract went to a 5. Yeah, I was warned, but, you know, I'm stubborn. So, by 1999, we're supposed to be in World War III again. Wesley Clark was supposed to top that one off at Pristina Airport in Kosovo. That's what Clinton was all about, too. Continue the Nazi agenda to take over the Balkans. Long story short, so by the year 2000, we're supposed to be in a new world order. That's what 911 was all about. A druid, Freemasons, secret society, sacrifice of human beings in 911 World Trade Center. That was all about. Nothing to do with Jews, nothing to do with Arabs. It's about secret societies and their human sacrifice to bring in a new world order and the demonic entities in the year 2001. That's the truth about 911. I'm leaving out a lot because I don't have much time. But you getting the idea? I throw a lot in my broadcast. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I just have a lot to tell y'all, and I try to get it out, and I move on. But you know, this is not new. This goes back to the first Antichrist. There's going to be one more. This is the last one. But the first one was Nimrod. Oh, yeah. A Nephilim was created by the fallen angels, third generation after Ham. That's when it began. Alchemy, witchcraft, Freemasonry, craft, Nimrod. Fast forward to Jeremiah 11, 9 to 10. It says something like this. Well, it says exactly this. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. Ever heard of a generational curse? Which refused to hear my words. Let me say that again. Which refused to hear my words, and they went after other little g gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Unquote. It's Jeremiah. He warned. Just like Martin Luther King warned us in the 1960s. Family, we've all been warned along the way by good people. You see. So what's that got to do with today? Well, goes something like this. Because every conspiracy is simply a plan in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion toward God as executed by his human agents. And David Spangler, a follower of Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, director of Planetary Initiative, United Nations, he said the following, I quote, "No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation." Remember that. I'll tell you why in a minute. And then the first global revolution report by the Council of the Club of Rome by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, 1991, said, and I quote, "In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality, in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat with demands the solidarity of all peoples. But in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap about which we have already warned, namely mistaken systems for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself." That's interesting he says that. Because as I said this morning in that show I had, it goes right in line with this one that I can't say enough. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." You see? And there's another man that said something about that. He is right on target about that, and he is warning us too. I feel like I want to play it. And so you'll hear him say it yourself. I can't hear this enough either. And it goes something like this.
"Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God."
Listen carefully.
"The promises of the great society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere."
So you turned away from the civil rights leaders. He went his own path to bring people in to the truth. Now, I was talking about these elections. That's where I was headed. And I had a little bit of side trails along the way, say the least. But some of these things had to be told. Now, I was going toward the elections part about how they're crooked. I only gave you one example. It was local, and it was today, how they're hiding the elections. Well, how about a little bit of testimony? Sworn testimony in a court in Florida. Speaker of the House of Florida, when was it Kerry and who else was it? Kerry and George Bush or something? Was that who it was? I don't know who it was. It doesn't matter. Is Bush and somebody? Whatever. It's back in Florida around 2006 or so. Tom Feeney, computer programmer, was testifying about the election results in Florida. And he goes something like this. Here we go.
Mr. Curtis, would you please state your full name for the record?
My name is Clinton Eugene Curtis.
And where do you reside?
Tallahassee, Florida.
And what is your profession?
I'm a computer programmer.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I worked for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
Mr. Would you answer that question once again?
They would never see it.
So how would such a program, a secret program that fixes the election, how could it be detected?
You would have to view it either in the source code or you'd have to have a receipt and then count the hard paper against the actual vote total. Other than that, you won't see it.
All right, Mr. Curtis, if you had been asked, you or others with your professional expertise had been asked to design a protective program that would protect the Ohio elections from against such software to fix the election, could you have done so?
If we've been asked to make a program that could fix the election, sure, anybody can do it.
No, could you have designed a program or a procedure or a protocol that would have protected Ohio against this kind of rigging?
No, you have to look at the source code. You have to get probably programmers from both or all parties to look at the source code and determine if there's anything in there that shouldn't be there. I mean, it's a simple program. You're adding one to a person's total. It's 100 lines of code tops.
All right. Are you aware of whether there was any protective action in Ohio against this kind of vote rigging through software?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You were not asked to assist in the development of any protective system. Is that correct?
No, I was not.
In Europe, have you reviewed at all the election results in Ohio?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Given the availability of such vote rigging software and the testimony that has been given under oath of substantial statistical anomalies and gross differences between exit polling data and the actual tabulated results, do you have an opinion whether or not the Ohio presidential election, was hacked?
Yes, I would say it was. I mean, if you have exit polling data that is significantly off from the vote, then it's probably hacked.
And your testimony is under oath?
Yes, sir.
And the testimony you've given is true?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Who did you say you were asked to prepare?
I was asked by Tom Feeney. He's now a congressman. At that time, he was Speaker of the House of Florida, Yang Enterprises, which was the company I worked for, lobbyist, and their corporate attorney. He wore a lot of hats.
And at the time, he was the Speaker of the House of Florida. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Congressman.
He's saying he was the lobbyist for the voting machine company at the same time he was Speaker of the House?
I don't know what the voting machine company is. He was a lobbyist for Yang Enterprises. We had NASA contracts.
And Yang Enterprises did what? Computers?
Computers.
Okay, and he was your lobbyist, your company's lobbyist.
Lobbyist for that company, yes.
And he asked you to design a code to rig an election?
Yes.
While he was Speaker of the Florida House?
Yes.
This was during or previous to the 2000 election?
Yes, October or end of September.
And did he ever express why he wanted a code to rig an election?
No, I immediately assumed that they were trying to keep you guys from cheating them. So I wrote up the documentation of what you would look for in the source code, how you would make sure that you didn't get, taken advantage of, make sure that all voting machines had receipts, because that way you could back count the ones that looked a little funny. And I handed it over.
By receipts, you mean a paper trail?
Yes, paper trail. And I handed that in to Mrs. Yang and said, here's your report, here's your program. And she said, you don't understand, we need to hide the fraud in the source code.
Hide the fraud, not reveal the fraud.
Not reveal the fraud, because it's needed to control the vote in South Florida, was what she said.
Whoa. That's what she said. To your knowledge, was this used?
I have no idea. I was ready to leave, so I retired and left the company.
Your testimony a moment ago, I think you said just before you left and answered the Congresswoman Tubby Jones' question, would you just repeat what you said in terms of the exit polls?
Oh, the exit polls should not be significantly different from the vote.
And if they were, you would conclude what?
I would conclude someone's playing with the vote.
Now with the exit polls?
That's possible, too.
Okay.
Something is definitely skewed.
Something is skewed in one or the other above.
Right. To select which one, you'd have to see where the problem is.
Let me ask you one further question. Assuming for the moment that such software, that's what you call it, such software to rig a vote was used in one or more machines in Ohio or in Florida, could you today detect that if you looked at the source code?
If you get the machines and they have not been patched yet, I mean, once they get in and touch them, anything can happen. You can also set timers to do that, but then you see the timers. Then you'd have to take those machines, decompile them, which I couldn't do, but possibly a Microsoft, an MIT, something could do. You might be able to see it.
You might.
Not necessarily, depends on how good they are at destroying what they had.
Destroying what they had by tampering with the machine afterwards or by programming a destroyed instruction in the first place?
Right, because since you didn't...
Both, either or both?
Either or both. You didn't actually see what's in there, so you don't know if the code is running in a single executable or running in various modules. If it's running modules, you can make the code actually eat itself.
Let me ask you one further question. I've been told that people who assume that lots of the election results, or that a large fraction of the election result in a state may have been affected by deliberate fraud on the computer are paranoid, because in order to do that, you have to have access to thousands of machines, and that would be readily detectable. To what extent is that true?
It depends on the technology you use. If you did a central tabulation machine that fed in, all you'd have to do is set a flag. You set a flag, the central central tabulation machine would then flip your vote.
So one person putting in bad code in a central tabulation machine could affect thousands and thousands or tens of thousands of votes.
Right. And you could activate either automatically, or you could make it so that there's code existing on like an electronic machine that feeds it, where you would punch it in, it would set the flag, the server would see the flag, and then...
And if you had a recount, and there were no paper trail, would that be revealable by seeing a discrepancy between what the central tabulator showed and what the individual machines, which had not been tampered with, showed?
Not if I wrote it.
Why not? In other words,
I would make it match.
You could work back from the tabulator to the individual machines, so the tabulator would tell the machines to switch their results?
Yes. It talks both ways. You can look at whatever you need.
And they actually do talk to each other, the machines and the tabulator.
As long as it's networked together, they could talk to each other.
So in other words, there's absolutely no assurance whatsoever on anything with regard to these machines?
Absolutely none, unless you look at the source code and make sure it's safe before it goes out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Congressman Mathers. I know that Congresswoman Waters has a question, then Senator Miller, and then Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones.
This will only take a moment if you would come back to the...
I'm new at this.
As you know, there has been a lot of discussion about, I think it was Diebold Company, their relationship to the president and the administration, and supposedly comments about helping to ensure that the president was reelected. In your world, in your environment, have you heard any of this kind of discussion? Do you know people for Diebold? Do you have any sense of any actions that may have been taken?
I don't know anything about that at all.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sir.
I suspect people will attack you in terms of your credibility. Could you restate once again your credentials?
I'm a programmer. I work for NASA, work for ExxonMobil, work for Florida Department of Transportation, and other elements of my story, because this company, well, let's get into it. Why not? This company also, they have NASA contracts, and they were basically downloading tons of information, I mean gigabytes worth, and handing off to this little Chinese guy named Henry Nee, and it didn't seem right, and you know, he was hacking things, and I wrote a program for DOT that allowed contractors to send their information into DOT, and he was kind of the quality assurance guy for software. He put a wiretapping module in the program that went out to the contractors so that it actually sent everything they sent back to Yang. So I reported all this, and just last March, I think, he was arrested for attempting to send anti-tank missile chips to the capital of Communist China. So if that's correct, this is such a small thing. Of course, I think he only got a $100 fine.
That's how it really works. Now, I'm going to lead you to something you're probably not expecting here in a minute. I'm showing you how the system... Listen now. I'm showing you how the system is...
In no time.
Oh, here we go. We wasn't done. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones.
Oops.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are now going to...
Now, I'm going to lead you on this trip here. You make your own decision up. And another step. Now, remember, every president so far that I've named, like Woodrow Wilson, like Adolf Hitler, who are cousins. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. FDR. Nixon, Reagan, Bush, is like musical chairs. Who's going to be a dictator over the colony of America? The whole way, each one's making plans. What did Bush have to say? For example, they don't hide anything. They don't hide a thing. They tell you up front. Pretty much. They don't tell you up front before they're being elected, but they give you clues along the way. Have little Freudian slips or so along the way. I'm going to run something up here shortly. These computers, sometimes they're cooperative, sometimes they're not. But Bush was also, he said several slips, I don't think slips really, about being a dictator. And he had dreams of being a dictator as well. George Bush, you see. And now it leads us up to Obama. Finally, they all work together. And they all play a role as they're told to. See, as they go along, they're told what to do. Obama's not in control. Bush was not in control. Clinton was not in control. None of the Bushes were in control. They're controlled by Jesuits. The Jesuits, the Vatican, is controlled by the Illuminati. Italian Illuminati. Breakspear, Aldo Brandini, Orsini, Chagi, Medici. These are the real ones in control. At the highest level. And they operate only under Luciferian agenda of the supernatural that leads them in what they're to do with these agencies and security, secret societies I've been talking about. This hat really works. You see, this hat really works. There was an interview that gave you kind of an idea here. I'm having a little bit of trouble here with my computer. It's a little slow. It's very, very slow actually here all of a sudden. But that's probably just the way it is. Nothing, I don't think anything funny really. Where Bush and Kerry, who are both cousins, are inquired in one interview about 322, which are skull and bones, a secret number, 322. It's Genesis 3, verse 22. And it talks about supernatural. It talks about, here we go.
You were both in Skull and Bones, a secret society. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the website.
Number 322?
I'm scared to lose. No, I'm not going to lose.
If you did, what would you do?
Well, I don't plan on losing. I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead.
His cousin also had something to say about it. His cousin was John Kerry. They're cousins, both Skull and Bones. If you're a Skull and Bone member, you're going to be assigned, one of you will, appointed as a president. You heard me right. Now, this is where the election fraud comes in. They're all appointed. They're never elected. Even FDR confirms that. That the president is never elected. They're appointed. Let's do two for one here by Tim Russert, who, by the way, died sometime later after this interview that he had with the both of them. You also have folks in this capacity that try to give you a clue like Jack Brooks did. Here we go.
You were both in Skull and Bones.
It's better.
This is
better.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322?
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets. There are all kinds of secrets.
See, that's how it really works. Now, you put all this together, you see how it's already planned out. You see. Now, you can say the system is broken. Right now, that's what they want you to see. So I'm kind of helping them right now in telling you that the system is broken. But I'm going to go a step further. Now, concerning Bush, he had another plan, right? Well, what is that plan? Let's see what he says about that in about 10 seconds.
Coverage to the elderly and more.
But that's okay. If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
You see, they always have these Freudian slips. So the system is broken, and they want you to know now that it's broken. They want you to know that there's only one solution. And this is where the Knights of Malta come in. The Knights of Malta work against you and work for the Vatican, pretending to be on the veteran side. The Knights of Malta work against you. You understand this? So the system is broken. Well, let's see what they got to say about that. Stand by.
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I started telling friends for a long time, that no election is going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, good. He grabbed the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
There you go. Jack Brooks, same thing back in the 1980s. military takeover today with those as pretending to be on your side. Now, I'm revealing quite a bit today, and I intend on doing it again tomorrow and the day after. And you're probably wondering, if you're still listening, whose side am I on? Well, I told you that about 2 hours ago. On the side of Jesus, that's it. I hold no membership to anybody. No group, nothing. And that's why I'm going to keep it. That way I keep my head straight about who's in control. And I'll get pulled away from it. Because Jesus Christ is in control. This is the bottom line. It is supernatural what's going on today. There's no way mankind could set this up. It's not possible. Not possible whatsoever. Because along the way, man would be distracted, going a different path, a different direction, different agenda. In every monarchy, every presidency, if they have the control, they would actually get things done even for their political party. But notice they don't even help their own political parties. Well, now you know why. Because they're not for any of the political parties. They're for the New World Order agenda. That's what they're for. And you know, these leaders along the way have been telling you all along. But you know, now they're letting you know they've been telling you to put it in your face. Kissinger's, the organizations I mentioned, Knights of Malta, Club of Rome, United Nations, Council of Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of National Affairs, Gorbachev Foundation. Oh man, it just goes and goes and goes. Doesn't stop. But they will. There's going to be a point that they will have to stop. And then when you all start seeing, those out there, start seeing the supernatural, what are you going to do? How are you going to deal with it? You've been warned many times. How about this one? September 11th, 1991. September 11th, 1991.
Certain that we stand at a defining hour. Halfway around the world, we are engaged in a great struggle in the skies and on the seas and sands. We know why we're there. We are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. For 2 centuries, we've done the hard work of freedom, and tonight we lead the world in facing down a threat to decency and humanity. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. Peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future. If it is possible, I want to continue to build a lasting basis for U.S.-Soviet cooperation for a more peaceful future for all mankind. The triumph of democratic ideas in Eastern Europe and Latin America, and the continuing struggle for freedom elsewhere, all around the world, all confirm the wisdom of our nation's founders. Tonight, we work to achieve another victory, a victory over tyranny and savage aggression.
30 years before this lie that the elder Bush told, you had this one, 30 years before, 1961. Goes something like this in a minute. And that's one thing about having your own network, that you get kind of a one way or another. that you can do your own show. I like it. That way I don't have to tell people, I got to play this. Can you play it for me? I just do it anyway. Here we go. It said January 17th, 1961, 30 years before George Bush lied.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations.
Eisenhower. He tried to warn us.
Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
But there he goes. Eisenhower tried to warn us, too, about the military-industrial complex, which is the New World Order. Reagan had an interesting comment one time in one of his speeches about, can't we beat spears into plowshares? Seems like they pass the same little speech down as they go along. And he's talking about the UFO issue. That was Reagan's little thing about the alien invasion. He had a little speech about UFOs and the Star Wars. They're going to use the UFO issue eventually to bring the world together in one world order. September 26, 1988, Reagan gave this speech, kind of like this. He is addressing the United Nations, and he mentioned the alien threat right in front of UN, and about five other times he talked about it.
I couldn't help at one point in our discussions privately with General Secretary Gorbachev. When you stop to think that we're all God's children, wherever we may live in the world, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet outside in the universe. We'd forget all the little local differences that we have between our countries, and we would find out once and for all that we really are all human beings here on this earth together. Well, I don't suppose we can wait for some alien race to come down and threaten us, but I think that between us we can bring about that realization. In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war? I think maybe I'd answer it this way. I keep, in my frustration sometimes, you know, actually, if you count some of the things going on in smaller countries and all, there have been about 114 wars since World War II. But I've often wondered, what if all of us in the world discovered that we were threatened by a power from outer space, from another planet? Wouldn't we all of a sudden find that we didn't have any differences between us at all? We were all human beings, citizens of the world, and wouldn't we come together to fight that particular threat?
Goes on and on and on. Now, you'll find this kind of interesting. In 1917, at the Imperial Japanese Mission, a record of reception throughout the United States of the special mission headed by Viscount Ishii in New York, John Dewey, the father of American education, in 1917, he was professor, he was a humanist, yeah, big time humanist, professor of philosophy at Columbia University. Columbia University is a card-carrying member of Tavistock. He was next speaker. He was listened to with great interest when he said, I quote, in 1917, someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on the globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity of interest and purpose. Then he goes on to say, we have the next thing to that at the present time. Before a common menace, North and South America, the Occident, the Orient, have done an unheard of thing, a wonderful thing, a thing which it may well be future history will point to the most significant thing in these days of wonderful happenings. And he just goes on and on with more of his nonsense back in those days. Well, he was a humanist. He set up the education system for your children and for your grandparents, as did before him Horace Mann, another humanist. 1930, Charles Francis Potter said, I quote, 1930, a humanist, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism. 57 years later, 1987, Herbert London of New York University, another card-carrying member of Tavistock and the CFR, said, and I quote, strides made by Marxism and American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its preachment, meaning specifically Marxism and socialism. And almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar. Family's always been that way. They're going to use to bring us together one final time a threat against this world by a fake alien invasion. This is what it's all been set up for. It's even planned through Tavistock, the Iron Mountain Report, even talks about it. All these folks have been involved in it. So, right now, let's go back to what the Club of Rome, Alexander King, Bertrand Schneider said. Now you see how this works. Quote, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality, in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat with demands the solidarity of all people. But in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap about which we've already warned, namely mistaking systems for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. It's only through changed attitudes, behavior, that they can be overcome. The real enemy is humanity itself. You know what their solution for that is? Depopulation. That's their justification to kill off millions that they bring in their elite. But now what the elite don't know is they're going to be the first meat on the table. They don't realize that. That the deep underground military bases they're going to shuttle them to for their protection will become their grave. According to Protocols, Chapter 15, they're going to kill. They're going to execute every Freemason that knows too much, and all others will die, quote, as if by some illness, unquote. That's a fact. You know, in 21 May 1991, another Illuminist, Henry Kissinger, who, by the way, worked with Alexander Haig, another evil individual. Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger came up with a depopulation plan, NSSM 200, in 1972-73. And Jimmy Bob Carter, I put the Bob in there because I just feel like it. Jimmy Carter, another Luciferian, furthered the plan with his Global 2000, evil to the core, pretending to be Christian, not remotely. Well, Henry Kissinger said on 21 May 1991, in an address to Bilderberger meeting in Evian, France, transcribed from a tape recording made by one of the Swiss delegates, said, and I quote, "Today, Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. But tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond. Whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all people of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. Because the one thing that every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government." Unquote. Family, this is yet to happen. And it's being set up now with this UFO lie. They're going to show you how broken the system is, how evil our government is, and the lie that Obama's the Antichrist. He's preparation for it, yes. They're going to tell you the lie that the Pope, the Jesuit Pope, Francis, there's three popes actually, the white Pope, gray Pope, and the black Pope. They're all three Jesuits. They're going to tell you the Pope is the false prophet. That's a lie. They're going to tell you Obama is the Antichrist. That's another lie. All of them are evil. There's no question about that. And they're all part of this. But I've told you before, the false prophet is Sananda Emmanuel, a fallen angel that's calling himself Yeshua. There'll be a threat to this world. There'll be worldwide calamity. And they'll come in to save the day. They'll clean up the pollution. They'll clean all debts out. Yep. That will be the first seal. 7 years, start counting. Jesus Christ will be back after Armageddon. The real Armageddon. Not the fake they're coming up with now. Remember what I said. Because they're setting it up now. But George Bush don't give up. After 1991, he came out again. At a certain date, he talks again about the New World Order family.
Absolutely.
And it goes something like this.
Of its founders.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
He tells you right there. They give you these clues. Some of them have tried to tell you before they got out of office, because they knew if they did before, they would die. You see? And this is how it really works. It's a supernatural agenda. It's supernatural. Now, I have 15 minutes to go in this Wednesday program. Yesterday, I did a special on the Veterans Day. And I think I got a little fired up on that one, too. And this morning, I was on Jesus in the Morning, Sister Mac, 7 to 9 this morning. I had a two-hour radio show I was on as a guest. And I gave the lowdown on generational curses. And family of generational curses takes us right back to what I'm talking about today. Right now. Ever since I started about an hour and 15 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago. This is all connected to the supernatural. This morning I was talking about what generational curses are. And I'm going to talk tonight specifically. And it's actually going, I decided to do this. I decided to make tonight my Bible study as part two of this morning. And to complete the cure for demonic influence, or the biblical steps to deliverance. What is the biblical steps for deliverance of our country? Shall I say it again? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The idea is for Satan to get its way. But first he must show that our country, our government, world government today, and each individual countries are broken. And in fact, it was briefed to Illuminati between 1873 and 1901, I believe, more than one lecture, that, quote, once the evil of all governments have been acknowledged, I'm sorry, my mistake, once the worthlessness of all governments have been acknowledged, then we'll launch the New World Order, World Revolutionary Plan, unquote. Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which is an Illuminati document, and it's not Jews. It's Italian, Roman, the revival of the whole Roman Empire. They're trying to tell you, P.P. Simmons and Carl Gallup and all the rest of them, that we're already in a certain seals. We're not at all. They're trying to tell you that America is Babylon. That's almost funny. It's almost so sad it's not even funny, actually. It's a revival of the whole Roman Empire. So either they slept through their school of theology or got it from a Cracker Jacks box. Because America couldn't possibly be. It's impossible for America to be Greater Babylon. That's almost ridiculous. No, it is ridiculous. The revival of the whole Roman Empire is the last of the empires, not America. You know what they're telling you this for? When America goes down, they'll say Babylon has fallen. Yeah. And that's when they'll bring in the New World Order, the false Christ, Sananda, and the Antichrist to be the leader and the good guy The bad guy's gone. The false prophet's gone. The Antichrist is gone. And Babylon's fallen. No family. The one they bring in to be the good guys will be the first seal, and they will be the bad ones. That's the great deception coming. And the one you think, when you see the photograph and the portraits of Jesus, long-haired, blue-eyed, Caucasian Jesus, is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He has bronze skin. He looks Arabic because he came from the Middle East. But the Jesus they're going to show you that you all think is Jesus, that's Sanand Emmanuel, the fallen angel. New Agers look at him as the Christ. In the Hindu religion, they see him as Krishna. The Christ. Bodhisattva. The Prince of Peace. Maitreya. He will be the Imam Mahdi and the Kalki Avatar, all wrapped into one. And that's what's going to happen. They're trying to get you to believe that Islam is the enemy, which they are. But they're trying to get you to believe that that is the religion of the Antichrist. It is not. Humanism is the religion of the Antichrist. Secular materialism, Lucifer. They need a fall guy. That's going to be Islam. They need another fall guy. That'll be Zionism. Zionism, Islam, both created by the Vatican, that's a fact, will fight each other in a war. That war will be the real World War III. That will give rise to the Holy Roman Empire, which is the beast. That's yet to come. A great deception is going to be upon us. And the good guys that's coming are not the good guys at all. There are no aliens. They're demons. They're fallen angels that's been in this world since the dawn of time. They're the ones that's leading the Bilderberg, the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, the Council of Foreign Relations, and World Institute of International Affairs, the Club of Rome. All these are led by the fallen angels. The kings and queens of this world are led and are subservient to the fallen angels. No aliens. That's why it's been set up through NASA that space travel is possible. You notice the space program just fell flat after Columbia? Imagine that. And as they started to take off to have space tourism, kind of fell flat too, didn't it? Kind of put the space program on hold, didn't they? Seems like every time something goes up with man-made or planned to, it just falls flat, doesn't it? Yeah. Iron Mount Report, 1966. It was never to be released to the public. In the Iron Mount Report, it was released by one of the 15 engineers. It was given to Lewin, who wrote a book, but then they tried to pull it back, but couldn't do it. He had to write a retraction, say it's a hoax, it's a lie. The Iron Mount Report specifically talks about developing a space research program aimed at unreachable targets as one of the many methods of controlling people, groups of people. In that same report, they talk about developing an extraterrestrial menace. 1966. It all comes back around. Now, you recall when I mentioned about when they talked about pollution and all that in that quote about using pollution to bring people together and control it? Well, some of the substitution for war. War is the best way to bring people together and control them, by war. But when you don't have a war, how do you control people? That was the purpose of the Iron Mount Report, 1966. They said the following. Options of controlling people in a time of peace. How do we control these people? A comprehensive social welfare program aimed toward maximum improvement of general conditions of human life. A giant open-end space research program aimed at unreachable targets. A permanent, ritualized, ultra-elaborate disarmament inspection system and warrants of such a system. Gun control. an omnipresent, virtually omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent international police force, or an established, recognized extraterrestrial menace, a massive global environmental pollution, and fictitious alternate enemies. That's Al-Qaeda, Hamas, ISIS. That's what we're talking about here. And programs generally derived from Peace Corps models. Peace Corps, not what you think it is. A modern sophisticated form of slavery or intensified environmental pollution. New religions or other mythologies, Scientology. Socially oriented blood games. That's your mixed martial arts. That's your football. That's your extreme sports that you watch. It controls everybody. Or a combination form. And ecological. A comprehensive program of applied eugenics, which control people in the time of peace. What do you do in a time of war? The war is what controls people. You don't have war. So now how do you control them? By these methods, which brings me to this final point. Now you'll really understand what this means. By an advisor that goes back, Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now you'll understand about how to control people and when it becomes too difficult to control people.
Yet another.
Then here's what happens.
In some respects,
here we go.
That for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
Shall I say more? Checkmate. How much more evidence do you need to find out how Lucifer controls these governments worldwide, not just America? Because they all work together. Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way under the sun. It's in heaven. Is the answer. Literally, it is supernatural. And they've lost already. Only Jesus Christ after Armageddon, after the tribulations will happen, and after, Jesus Christ will be back. He's alive. He's coming back. You won't see Buddha. You won't see Joseph Smith. You won't see David Copperfield. You won't see Mohammed. You won't see any of them. But you will see Jesus. Whose side are you going to be on? And this goes to you generals out there and you secret society members. If you had the power, you'd already be in power. You have a secret power. Because you don't have the power yet to make it public. But when you do, that will become your undoing. And that's a promise. So your best bet will be to renounce the blood oath and deliver yourself from the generational curse of which you've been placed under. Otherwise, your direction will be to hell. And it will be permanent. And you will not be out of it. Well, family, I think I've said my piece today, and I got more to say tonight, and I got more to say the rest of this week. And I shall continue on to next week, and the week after, till I can't do it anymore. God's put upon my heart to tell the truth. He's given me the ability to do so, and I shall do so. Family, he's alive. He's coming back. And accept him as your Savior. That is the only answer. And family, tonight, 8 o'clock to 9, Bible study. If you care to join, if not, it'll be recorded. And I'll have it up and running. Thank you for your attention today. I'll be back tomorrow then at 4 o'clock. All goes well. And we'll just continue on. Whatever God puts in my heart to say is what I'm going to do. So y'all have a good night, and God bless you all. And God be with you. This is your watchman, signing off.
And my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end.